Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hackadoo.
Eric Asher-Slager.
Hi there.
Daryl Loomis.
Hello.
And you know how this rolls, so we're going to just get right into it because there is a Knicks-Celtics preseason game going on right now, and we can't miss it. No one cares about that, even me. So, Mac, why don't you kick us off, give us some of your updates.
Well, last week you guys were talking about the new fall TV shows.
Yes.
So this week I figure it'll be my turn. One thing we haven't talked about yet is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, do tell.
Well, again, you know, I grew up reading Marvel comics, so I'm just a little biased, but I have been enjoying it. For the most part, it's not like the greatest show ever, but it's pretty good.
Does it feel like a Joss Whedon thing?
In places it does, yeah. You know, Clark Gregg is back, as Agent Coulson, and he's really good. He gets a lot of the Whedonisms. And
so did he kinda... – is this following the events of the Avengers?
Yes.
So you can spoil it. Why is he alive?
Well, they said that him getting stabbed was real.
Yeah.
But then his surviving it was covered up so that the Avengers could come together as a team.
Okay.
He spent some time recovering in Tahiti, and now he's been given this new group of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents to go and save the world.
Gotcha. So, wow, but when all said and done, literally we lost, like, the good guys lost nobody in that whole fight.
Well, hold on.
Okay, oh, yeah? All right, what do you got?
Then two of the other characters kind of went and had a little aside and said, so Coulson doesn't know what really happened?
Oh, I gotcha.
No, he doesn't.
So, I mean, that leaves what, clone or robot? Clone or cyborg?
Clone, robot, alien, you know, time, all duplicate.
It was all the dream, maybe? All the events of the Avengers?
I probably hope not. The new agents, we haven't really gotten to know them that well yet. They're just kind of stock types. There's the tough guy. There's the computer hacker girl. There's the quirky science duo. And there's the tough girl who flies the jet, who has the mysterious past. So I'm kind of hoping we'll get more character development along the way.
Any cameos? Any comic book cameos?
We've had two actors from the Avengers show up so far. I don't want to spoil who because it's kind of a pleasant surprise.
I want to know, and I don't know if I want to watch it. So, hey, don't listen for the next 10 seconds if you don't want to be spoiled.
10 seconds?
15 seconds. Go.
15, okay. Second episode, Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay, I actually did read about that.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
And then Maria Hill in the first episode.
And Maria Hill was whom?
Colby Smulders.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Great. Okay. So, has it been picking up steam or shedding viewers or shedding momentum? How do you track the trajectory?
I haven't been following the ratings at all, but the one thing that bugs me is that they have so many references to the Avengers movie. It's kind of like every fourth line of dialogue they have to drop in some kind of they have to mention Captain America or Iron Man or Hulk, one of the Avengers, or mention something that happened in the movie. And it comes across a lot like, just an ad for the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping they get away from the movie and establish their own identity as a series.
Do you see any pictures? Are they showing any pictures of Hulk on the wall?
No, there's a bit in the first episode where a kid is looking at a bunch of action figures of the Avengers.
Yeah. Dave, you're thinking of the Fantasy Mission Force movie, right?
Yeah,
at the beginning of the show, the slideshow of all these people who are in the movie.
That's right, Rambo and Rocky, right?
Rambo?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I always get Fantasy Mission Force and Avengers confused. To be fair, Avengers would. Totally ripped off Fantasy Mission Force.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, so give it a letter grade, Mac, including pluses and minuses, right, as it stands
B plus?
Now. B plus. Wow. So I take that as a fairly strong recommendation.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but I've been enjoying it.
All right. Eric.
All right, well, I actually made it out to the theater.
Yes.
As you could say. And I saw Gravity. Alfonso Cuarón joint. It was awesome. I really, really liked it a lot. And it's a testament to how technically proficient the film is that I didn't even realize until after the fact. Although I knew there was trickery involved, I didn't realize how much of the film is CG.
Okay.
Because it looks very convincing. Apparently, at points in the movie, the only things that are real on screen are the actors' faces. Everything else is from the suits and everything.
You mean they didn't film it in space?
They didn't really film it. No, obviously. Obviously, that's the case. But to the film's credit and to Cuarón's credit and everyone who worked on it, they managed to create this seamless, experience where, I mean, it opens with, essentially this long shot that, because it's constructed, isn't actually a long shot, but it goes on for like 15 minutes without any visible edit, and everything's in motion constantly throughout the film, and it's an entire – so I saw someone say somewhere, it's the greatest film about physics ever made, and that's pretty true. Like, it's just an amazing so it's a beautifully choreographed and constructed movie that I think it was thrilling in places.
You didn't notice the black construction paper in the background with the screwdriver holes poked in?
I did not.
Cuarón is a visual.
He really is. And it's a very kind of simple, focused story, and I think some people have kind of taken that as a negative. But I thought it was pretty effective. It's amazing how much is put on Sandra Bullock and George Clooney's shoulders. I mean, you get to the end of the movie, and like the first title card after the name of the film is just the two actors' names, and that's it. Like, they're the only actors that are visibly acting on screen for the entire 90 minutes of the movie, which is pretty.
Is it only 90 minutes?
Yeah, it's only 90 minutes. It's a tight, focused, well constructed experience, and it's funny because you had this sort of simple story, but it's told in this hugely ambitious way. Like, it's told in a way you've probably never seen before, and they really kind of take on a huge undertaking in creating this, the space environment and just all the pieces that have to fit together to make everything come together. Go ahead. No, that's all I was going to say. I recommend it.
Some of my reticence towards seeing the movie was that, based on my recent experience with movies in general being 2.5 hours and the nature of what I knew the movie to be, I expected 2.5 hours of two people floating in space, which honestly sounds intolerable to me.
No, it's not. It's not that at all.
But at 90 minutes, if it's a tight story, I'm more likely to see it. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's really great.
All right, nice. Daryl, what do you got?
Nothing really different from last week, except I finished my quest to watch all the Friday the 13ths.
Great.
And so I did that. But
congratulations,
12 movies is a lot to watch.
Should I start bowing now?
No.
That's actually what I'm saying.
No, it was a lot of the same movie over and over.
Yeah, you actually do deserve some kind of award for sitting through the same movie 9 times.
Although I will say that I like Jason X a lot more than I did when it first came out.
I may have seen that. I have no functional memory of it. But
it's the one in space?
Yeah, I think I've seen it, but I don't remember much of
it. It's more like – it's like a really, really silly Scream.
Okay. Do they play it tongue-in-cheek?
Yeah, they totally play it tongue-in-cheek, and – there's a bunch of almost direct callbacks, newly filmed, but direct callbacks to the old movies and just like throwing it in your face what they did. And that plays a little better today, I think, than it did when it came out, even though the same year as Scream. Scream is a little bit more serious. This is almost pure comedy with a bunch of death in it. But, there it goes.
There you go. All right.
That's it.
So I got two movies to report on. One was both rentals. So one was This Is the End, the Seth Rogen movie. I was looking forward to it. It wasn't as funny as I thought it would be. So even though it doesn't really compare to The World's End, I think it's just because they share one word, in the title. Right. They're totally different. So I don't even want to compare the two. But I was kind of underwhelmed by This Is the End. They were flirting with some cool, like, the idea of them playing versions of themselves. And the funniest stuff was when they were useless actors, So, like, when they were self-deprecating, those were the funniest stuff. Like, oh, we're actors. They're going to save us first, Like, when the helicopters come, they'll save us first, right? So that was kind of funny when they were just kind of ripping on their personas. But there just wasn't enough, like, jokes. I think, that worked. And the only times I laugh are like the super profane bits, but you kind of feel cheap laughing at those. It's not like they're really working hard for them. So it wasn't a disaster, but just kind of real lukewarm. I did like Michael Cera playing a coked out douchebag. So, and I saw, speaking of Joss Whedon, Much Ado About Nothing.
How was that?
My wife and I liked it a lot. As a fan of the Kenneth Branagh production, for some reason, it was like on a regular rotation on the Encore Movie Channel for some reason. And I just kept – I just flip on it and be there, and I just would watch the Branagh version. I kind of liked it. And so we decided to jump in this, and this was very good. Super low budget, but just slick, really well done, a ton of Whedonverse actors in it. Great to see – Alexis Denisoff and Amy Acker together as an Angel fan. That was nice. But, you know, like Nathan Fillion's in it. Very portly Nathan Fillion, I might add. So, but a lot of, you know, a lot of recognizable Whedon faces. But a very good movie, a great treatment of the play. Really, really enjoyed it. Really did.
It looked really cool.
And I'll tell you this much. He doesn't do it so like the style and the flash overwhelms, you know, the play and the substance, you know?
Yeah, it looks like sort of an understated – the concept at least makes it sound like an understated Joss Whedon picture.
Right. I mean, and it's – I don't know if you would know it would be a Joss Whedon thing.
Right.
You wouldn't know it.
That's what it sounds like.
But it's – so it's like the guy – it's really interesting. It just – it kind of came from – he had a lot of people over his house, and they'd do these Shakespeare readings, like on the set of Angel and stuff, you know. And they would just so they turned this into a little Shakespeare club. And after the Avengers, this just became kind of an outlet for him. And they shot this thing in 12 days, you know. And it was just at his house.
Cool.
But I don't know, just kind of real, like just kind of pure acting, and these guys, people are really into it. Nicely done, and brought something new, you know, that I hadn't seen before. And it never feels like oh. I'm going to be super stylish with my stuff. It's yeah. Not like that.
And that's the thing with a lot of Shakespeare productions. I mean, for ages, I guess, I mean, really forever, that it's either really stodgy or really out there. So you get your Kenneth Branagh productions,
right.
And then you've got, like, Titus.
yeah, sure.
But this looked like just putting the play on in a modern house.
Pretty much. And, like, with people who love the material.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
and that's so cool. I thought all the comedy worked, the drama worked, and it was just – I really highly recommended. Just a great change of pace, you know. Just like just something to sit down and watch that if you want something different from your Jason X, right, or your Avengers for that matter. Right? Just a really cool thing, really well done, and just super, it just feel – just feels genuine, you know. Like who – the guy from Cabin in the Woods was in it. He played the druggy guy in Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah. Friends.
Yeah, really good in this. Really good in it. He played Claudio, so he was really good in this. So, and he does interesting stuff for the music. So, yeah, really recommended. So, okay. How about quick lightning round? 30 seconds each. What you got? Highlight for you got coming up for the site, Matt. Go.
I got a British miniseries, The Secret of Crickley Hall. It's a miniseries. It's like 3 episodes or 50 minutes each, so it's kind of more of like a long feature. Your basic haunted house story, the family loses their son. They move into the creaky old house. They start hearing voices. You can kind of see where this plot's going from there. And it flashes back to World War II, where the house was an orphanage, and that was kind of the more interesting parts of the story, where it kind of learned about where the ghost came from. So, it's very serious, really – a lot of sadness and a lot of crying, but it's worth it if you stick with it.
Nice. All right, Eric?
I'm reviewing the 40th anniversary edition of The Exorcist on Blu-ray, which is essentially the same package they put out in 2010, which is both the extended and theatrical versions of the film with a bunch of bonus features. Plus, this comes with a third bonus disc that has just 2 special features on it that are new, and there's also a hardback excerpt of William Friedkin's memoir, the chapter about The Exorcist. So it's a nice package, but if you own the previous set, maybe not for you. Mm. But it's still an effective movie. I enjoyed it.
Very good. Daryl?
I am reviewing a movie called Nothing Left to Fear that is an above-average horror movie that is the first ever production by Slash's production company.
All right.
Slash the guitar player?
Yes.
Okay. Wait, Slash from Guitar Hero 3, the same Slash?
The same man. But it's actually – it's got Anne Hesh in it in a small role, but it's actually unlike a lot of things, it's actually a pretty fair picture.
So that's recommended?
Relatively.
Relatively recommended.
Nothing. It's nothing special, but it's a solid horror movie that isn't – it isn't super sleazy or super gory. It's just a it's a sort of demonic possession movie that's straightforward, reasonably well acted, totally decent.
All right.
Oh, just like The Exorcist. So basically the same movie.
Yes.
Well, I guess I could tell you about the movie Dancing Ninja starring David Hasselhoff.
I think the title explains itself.
We'll pass on that. I'll just give a shout out to a History Channel show that I've taking a liking to, season two of Counting Cars. It's about this guy in Vegas. He's got a custom car shop, and he does a lot of car flipping. And like any reality show, it's made by, like, it's good because of the characters, and the guy who's in charge is just this count. His name is, like, they call him the Count. But he's just, this seems like a really nice, cool guy. And his kind of gimmick is they'll drive around the road, and they'll look for cars to buy, and, you know, they'll, like, talk to the owners. And it's just kind of cool how they set it up. The guy loves cars. He loves talking to people about cars, and it's one of the better, kind of one of those better reality shows that has to deal with, like, you know, flipping stuff, and I don't know what that genre would be, but it's something I would recommend, especially if you're a car person. If you're a car person, there's a lot to love in that. So I've spared you from Dancing Ninja. So no more Dancing Ninja. No, even though David Hasselhoff does have a musical number in it.
Of course he does. Yes. It'll be popular in Germany.
Can you at least tease us with what kind of dancing it is? Ballet, modern, jazz, break.
I would say break dancing.
Break. Okay, that would have been my guess.
The unfortunate side effect of Hasselhoff doing a musical is he feels compelled again to sing in a banana sling for some reason. I'll just leave it at that. That doomed the movie forever. So.
Didn't the title doom the movie?
Yeah, I think so. That was a cruel joke by Mr. Michael Staley. All right. Go ahead, Mac. What do you got?
Okay, let's move on to what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. And you at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And there we're going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for October 15th. And just talk about whatever we see on the list.
This is my favorite month for releases because it splits its time between prepping for Christmas and full-blown Halloween release. So you kind of get both sides of it. And, you know, Silent Night, Deadly Night, you know, crosses that bridge. But this is the one month where that's the case. And, you know, like Alone for Christmas with a dog and a candy cane. I definitely want to see that.
That's good.
You know, combine Alone for Christmas with Jacko Slasher, and you've got a movie I really want to see.
Jacko Slasher.
also in the horror tip, we got The Haunting on Blu-ray.
The Haunting come out on Blu-ray. And bizarrely, the remake of Maniac. I don't understand remaking Maniac.
That was a remake? Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's the one with Elijah Wood, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know we've all been waiting for the 3D version of Jumper, and it's finally here. That's a painful movie.
And in a movie that we all need, the prequel to the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I think we're at I think we're through the looking glass on that one.
The there is High Plains Drifter.
I thought maybe this was going to be a Scream Factory release, but it's not. John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness. Which I like a lot.
I do too. I wish it was better.
I wish
it was better.
Like so many Carpenter movies, I wish it was better. But I like anything that you know draws inspiration from Lovecraft.
Yeah, and it's one of the better Lovecraft adaptations.
Yeah, for sure.
Now is this Pacific Rim actually released this week?
Looks like it. Yeah. We've got a regular release, and then there's this four disc set that comes with a model of one of the big robots.
There you go.
Excuse me, the Jaegers.
Thank you. Thank you for correcting yourself.
That's a picture of a Jaeger. Is that a Jaeger shot? Is this thing on?
So I don't know, Mac. I'm tempted to give it another whirl, take another look at it. You know,
it's probably worth revisiting.
Right, get it on Blu-ray. See, you know, adjust. Well, I've seen it already, so I can't really adjust my expectations. But go in with a different attitude, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out on this. You know, I didn't see it in the theater after.
I mean, I could definitely see myself owning it just purely as something to throw on the TV to say, "Hey, look at how pretty this looks." You know, but I still come away. I still am a little disappointed, though.
Did any of you see it in 3D?
No.
Nope.
So I wonder how that holds up. Anyway.
How about the Savage Bees there?
Savage Bees looks like something that was made in, like, 1972.
She's in a tough predicament. I would close my mouth. Yeah, that'd be a starter. The
first thing I would do. Oh, it is from 1976.
Yeah, 1976.
There you go.
I think it was a font,
right? It looks like someone was just, like, spouting, like, cliches while they were drunk, and they said, "Beauty, you know, sue the savage beast," but they just slurred their words. Like, we should make a movie, The Savage Beast, that would be awesome. That's how it happened.
You're probably, it's probably about a 50-50 that you're right on that.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't resurrect an entire movie, but.
So season one of Vikings is out, a show that I talked about quite a bit when it was released. That, unfortunately, I felt lost a significant amount of steam, like, in the last quarter of the show, like the last 3 or 4 episodes. It got to one point in the story where it was like, this is going to be awesome. Things changed drastically, and it just kind of wandered away. But
not enough
for a while,
it
was pretty awesome. And I think it just ends up being decent to good. So.
Let's see. That first series of The Fall that I talked about with Gillian Anderson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I need to watch that. That's on Netflix, right? I think I asked that before.
It is.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
And also a really great sort of underrated TV show, but one that I really enjoy and is just a blast is Gravity Falls. They're doing that thing where instead of a season set, it's only a couple of episodes per disc. And so this is the first one. It's like 6 episodes, but the show's an absolute blast. I really recommend it.
Is it as much of a blast as Unlucky Charms?
I don't know about that.
Oh, and Weird Science.
Weird Science on Blu-ray.
So this tells you all you need to know about Unlucky Charms. Like when you click on Amazon.
Oh, God.
It says Seth Peterson, Charlie O'Donnell, blah, blah, blah. And then Playboy Playmates and a whole list of people. So that's I think that's their main selling.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it just looks like a terrible version of Leprechaun, which is terrible enough. We don't need more Leprechaun.
Though I will say, I will give them points for the tagline. They're magically malicious.
Nice. Well, that's good. That kind of makes me want to see it now.
I know. And you're the reason we can't have nice things, Mac, because you're going to see it because of the tagline. That's part of the problem.
That's a full moon picture. I didn't realize they were still in business.
Oh, really?
That's crazy. Anyway.
All right. Let's move on. I never really see the DVD release of the week. Go ahead, Mac.
Oh, I didn't look up one beforehand. I don't know. How about Jugface?
Jugface, good.
That works.
I like the term butterface, but something. I don't know what that means. I don't know what Jugface would mean, though.
Well, this is pretty easy, but I'm going with Love at the Christmas Table.
That's good. Oh, I forgot to sign it. Thank you for... I drifted there, so.
You did.
Hopefully, it didn't steal Eric's. Go ahead, Eric.
I don't know. I'll go with In the Mouth of Madness.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good, actually. Gentle Ben. Gentle.
He is.
He's a gentle. Okay. Ambush topics. You know this works. Eric, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Too many body parts.
Well, immediately, this isn't a movie or TV show, but Mortal Kombat 2. Mortal Kombat 3. No, I think maybe both of them. I think it's 3, but if you blow anybody up in Mortal Kombat by performing fatality, there's like 5 rib cages, you know, 150 bones. There's way too many body parts when you blow up one person in Mortal Kombat 3.
I'm going to go with the triple endowed woman from the original original Total Recall.
Yes. Of course. Yeah. Classic.
And the pathetic callback and the boring follow-up.
Yes.
Oh, of course, we were talking last week about Chucky. And in Child's Play 2 at the toy factory there, he goes through the big machine that glues all the extra arms and legs on.
That's good, yes. Good one.
Yeah. That looked really painful.
It did look painful. He had a hard time.
Chucky beating during that finale.
Chucky took a beating. He did absolutely take a beating.
How's everybody? Okay, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just recently, as part of Scary Movie Month, watched Tobey Hooper's Funhouse. And the main beastie in that one is a mutated guy that basically has two heads. He's got like two noses, and his mouth is a little wider because he has too many body parts in that face, however you slice it.
All right. I've not seen that one. Daryl, go.
All right. This might not work, so if it doesn't, I'll come up with something on the fly on the back end. Because I have a good idea for it, and I thought of a few, but take a movie, remove, add, or change a letter.
Oh, boy.
And give me one sentence about that movie.
Remove, add, or change a letter.
Anything.
I like how you're going with it. I like how you're mixing it up, that's for sure. I'm trying to avoid pillow as much as possible. Mark Pillow. Pillow, I'm going to do it. It's Pillow, the Mark Pillow story.
All right.
Because Mark Pillow obviously is well regarded around the Friday filibuster here. For his nuclear man. So
Mark Pillow teams up with Mad Mardigan to go have an adventure? It
had nothing to do with Willow.
You changed a letter, right?
I did change a letter.
That's all that counts. That's all I asked for.
I did what Daryl asked me to do. I changed a letter and I gave you a description of what that movie would be.
That's all I was asking for.
Pillow, the Mark Pillow movie. And Mark Pillow is going to be played by Brian Bosworth.
Excellent. Good casting.
Thank you. Yes, thanks.
I'll go with Citizen Maine, which is about a lion who owns a newspaper.
Yes.
And eventually just drives everyone away. And in the end, roars.
Is it roaring?
Fine. Yeah, exactly. And he roars. I don't know. It was a sled.
A lion
sled of some sort. Or whatever the lion equivalent of a sled would be, probably a gazelle carcass?
Yes.
It's the lion equivalent of anything.
And those lions jump on that gazelle carcass, you know, tobogganing down this.
Down in the savannah.
Boy, it's on me, huh? About James Bond in Moldfinger.
That's good.
It's going to, I guess, rot all of the gold in Fort Knox instead of stealing it.
So... Yeah, like all the gold has been kept in a very damp place in Fort Knox.
Right, yeah, and it's all kind of musty down there.
Yeah, his mold finger.
When he tried to
fire up the humidifier, right? And get
but when he tried to steal the mold, would it be like a giant truffle depository somewhere?
That would be interesting.
That thing? That's just a different direction. I'm not, you know, I don't want to ambush your ambush topic.
Maybe his henchman is a jog, and he's got one leg shorter than the other.
There you go.
All right, so mine is a BroboCop, a movie about a young cyborg police officer who's terrible at his job because he's too busy looking at Abercrombie catalogs, fixing his hair, and fist bumping.
Okay, so now we have to ask: out of the four movies just listed here, which would you watch without being forced to watch? You have to choose one to watch, I suppose. So, what would be the least painful one? So you have Pillow, the Mark Pillow movie. Citizen Maine, about a lion.
Lion
paper owner. We also have...
Keep in mind, it's the greatest movie about a lion ever made.
It is the greatest movie about a lion ever made.
Keep that in mind.
That is inarguable.
Screw Bloodborne 3, man.
RoboCop and Moldfinger. You got to choose one. What's the least painful one to choose, I think?
I'm thinking Moldfinger.
I'm going to go with Moldfinger on this one. Yeah, I think I agree.
I don't know, guys. The greatest movie ever made about a lion.
That's
I'm leaning towards the lion newspaper man myself. I want to say that.
All right, Eric.
If somebody misses the deadline, is the lion going to maul them?
There's still the mark.
Probably. You know,
that's always the threat. That's why it's never happened, you know, because everybody's too afraid to miss the deadline.
You know, he has an affair with a lioness who wants to roar in the opera, and it's
But something. Slowly over time, they like, you know, there's a montage shot of them getting farther and farther away from each other.
Absolutely.
Up the Serengeti.
And the pile of gazelle carcass in the middle of the table just grows bigger.
They're sitting there, and they can barely see each other anymore.
Oh. I don't know a lot about lions.
Pretty compelling.
They like gazelles. I think that's pretty.
I think they do, but I don't know if that's true.
I think they do. I think I've seen footage of that, them killing them at least. I don't think they like gazelles. I think they like eating them.
Wow. That brings our wildlife portion of this. This is part of the podcast that was brought to you by Mutual of Omaha.
Thank you, David Attenborough, for everything you did for me.
You know, whenever that came on, I knew that my Saturday morning cartoon viewing has come to an end.
Absolutely.
I remember it was like, oh, I guess the fun is dead. The fun is over now because Mutual of Omaha things have come on. I guess the Karate Kid cartoon show is the last I will watch. All right. Go ahead, Mac. What do you got?
All right. My topic. When the beginning of the movie is completely different from the rest of the movie.
Oh, I'm going to jump in before Dave does.
And then you can't do it either. Don't you?
I will. Voyage of the Rock Aliens. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen Voyage of the Rock Aliens. I don't think we've ever talked about it on the show before, but it begins with a music video starring Jermaine Jackson, and that's it. There's nothing about the rest of the movie that has anything to do with the futuristic slash alien landscape that he inhabits for the first 3 minutes of the movie. With Pia Zadora, who does show up later in the movie.
That's a different character.
I think it still counts. Right, yes, absolutely.
Where is Pia Zadora these days?
Ooh, I just saw an article about her. I just saw something about her. I don't know. I'm not sure what she's doing, but.
Yeah, I technically I don't care.
Sorry, but I took it. Plucked it and ate it. Like a lion eats a gazelle.
That's good. Beginning of the movie has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. Oh, I guess this will be kind of a stretch, but The Bourne Identity, I was very excited to watch. And this will be a stretch, but regardless, because it's one of my favorite books, so I'm watching it, and the opening is very close to the book, right? I was like, here we go. Really love this book. They nailed it so far. I can't wait. But that lasts all of, like, 5 minutes once the credits end. The movie just completely diverges from the book to the point where it's just they share the same – a couple people share the same names, and that's it. I mean, it's not even like, oh, this captured the spirit of the book. It did not capture the spirit of the book. Everything was backwards. So,
but that's their argument. They say that, oh, it's the type of thing that Le Carre would have written.
Well, it was a Ludlum book, for one thing.
Oh, Ludlum. Sorry, my bad.
I guess. Whatever.
There's their first problem. They got the wrong author.
That's true. This is exactly what Shel Silverstein wanted. yeah, I don't remember a Longmobile and put Bourne in it.
I really want to see a Shel Silverstein movie now. I want to see the you know, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout, you know, type movie.
So, I don't know. So, that's when I just kind of like, okay, I'm watching something totally different here. So, kind of a stretch, Mac, but whatever.
All right, I'm going with it's a movie I've talked about here before, but probably don't remember it because there's no reason to. It's called The Visitor from 1979, and it's about a little girl with telekinetic powers and John Huston. But the first 15 minutes of it is – the last 15 minutes of an Atlanta Hawks basketball game, which the little girl is at.
Okay, it's not like someone just taped over the beginning of the movie.
No, she's
the copy
in there.
You had.
She's in there, and I think John Huston's in the crowd too, but it's really just the last quarter of a Hawks game.
More movies should do that.
They should.
I think the Hawks lose.
Okay, spoiler.
They would. It's 79.
They would, actually. Yeah.
Well, this is from 1979.
Yeah, that reminds me of Highlander begins with a wrestling match.
Yeah.
But that was my pick.
Okay, real quick, I have to say that the movie Heavy Metal – what was it? Rock and Roll Nightmare, I believe. Mm-hmm. Rock and Roll Nightmare starts with that
– Satanic guitar player?
I think so. Rock and Roll Nightmare, and I think it starts with a 15-minute van ride.
That, fun.
Like a little, like it's, yeah. Sorry, Matt, go ahead.
Sorry. For my real pick, my official pick, was last night I rewatched Creature from the Black Lagoon. Nice. It was with Scary Movie, with a lot of people have been talking about it. And, of course, it's great. It's a classic. We all love it. But one thing I'd forgotten is that for as much as we remember the movie, you know, explorers go into the jungle and there's the Black Lagoon and there's a creature, but the very first thing that happens in the movie is it's in outer space and we see the Big Bang and the universe explodes and then expands and we actually see the Earth cool and it's all like, you know, cosmic, and there's this narrator who's talking about the universe and the cosmic forces and stuff. And I'm watching this thing, did I put in the right movie? I don't remember the Earth exploding at the beginning of Creature from the Black Lagoon. But yeah, it's all a very, very roundabout way to explain evolution and how the creature evolved.
Wow.
From fish to gill man.
Do not remember that.
To the Atlanta Hawks.
Yes. Yeah, so I was like, well, this is a – I guess no matter how many times you see a movie, it can still surprise you.
All right, leaving it to me. So, okay, so we'll keep this nice and easy up in New England. People are pretty excited about the Boston Red Sox. They're on their way to the ALCS, and they turned their season around. So give me a movie, either a prequel or a sequel or anything that, or a TV show or a season of TV or whatever that really turned it, that, you know, really turned around. So it started off pretty crappy, or it started off awesome and got real bad. So you know, something that did a total 180, or even within going towards maxing, even within the movie, started out great, ended terrible.
All right. Well, this TV show may not have been as good at the beginning as I thought it was at the time, but Heroes was a really big deal. Ooh, for a long time.
Good, yes. And it was, and, the first season was legit.
It was really good up until the last episode of the first season.
Correct.
Like it was one of those things where, yes, it built and built and was compelling. I was like, ooh, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And then it just completely fell off a cliff, and it just was terrible. And I didn't watch a ton of the second season, but I could never go back.
Yeah, you're right.
After not the end of the first season, but every episode except
they
the
totally
last episode.
They did not stick that landing. They built up to that confrontation, and he flew away and blew up with his brother or something. Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, I barely remember what happened. I just remember the clear feeling of, wow, that is a different show, and I don't want to watch that anymore.
Yes, good answer. Good answer.
Thanks. Survey says.
And that thing lasted three seasons, too, right? I think, yeah, I did remember
four seasons.
Four seasons?
Man. Yeah.
Really? And Mac watched them all.
Did you, Mac? So which one was carnival? Which one was with the carnival?
The carnival was the fourth season. They all went and joined the circus.
That's right. They had a tea bag from Prison Break. He could start earthquakes with his head.
Yeah.
That was his big thing.
So are we going – maybe I misunderstood. Are we going with something that it just turned around regardless?
Just turned, whether bad to good or good to bad.
Got it. Okay.
Just they just totally turned.
All right. Well, I'm going to go from bad to good because the first three Child's Play movies are awful, just awful movies. To me, totally unredeemable and silly. The Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors, where they made fun of Child's Play, where Homer just snapped the doll's neck off, is exactly right. But then Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky came out, and those two movies are freaking hilarious and totally brought the series back on track, or put it on track finally. So I'm excited as a result to see Curse of Chucky.
Which you haven't seen yet?
I have not seen it yet.
Let's see. Well, you guys know I'm a big Star Trek fan, among all the other things that I'm a fan of. And the Next Generation started out kind of a little clunky with occasional moments of greatness. But then they gave Wesley Crusher the boot, and things got really picked up after that.
So Wesley Crusher was the linchpin.
Well, if you – more or less. But I think that I don't know if it was really him or not, or if it was just kind of the show getting better coincided with him leaving. It's debatable. But
I thought it had more to do with the beard.
The beard is important too. Yeah,
it's important in theory. That's up there with moon landing stuff on the internet.
The same, much the same, could be said for Deep Space Nine, which was interesting but kind of very slow at the beginning, but then the captain shaved his head and grew the beard and then suddenly was badass.
Yeah. Oh, good point.
I feel like I've heard that it's actually a term where, like, jumping the shark is, you know, obviously the series getting worse, like growing the beard or bearding or something is an actual term. It means, like, it got better when they added something.
And that's good synergy with the Red Sox. They're known for their beards. This year. So I'm going to go with a triple. I'm going to go with a bad to iconic to brutal. So I'm going to do a triple one for you. So bad would be Good Morning, Miss Bliss, right? just brutal. And then Saved by the Bell, which we know is an iconic fixture of American pop culture. And then Saved by the Bell, The New Class, which was unwatchable. And even Saved by the Bell, The College Years, which had everyone back, but still unwatchable. So I guess the lesson there is that it's all pretty terrible and for some reason.
Is it right that Screech and Zach are the only two characters to retain through the whole series?
Well, Slater, no. Oh, yeah, you're right. From Good Morning, Miss Bliss onward.
Mm-hmm.
Is the principal, right?
No, he wasn't in College Years.
Oh.
Because, yeah, the only one from Miss Bliss was Zach, Screech, and Lisa.
Right.
Everyone else got the boot and the principal. And the middle school, by the way, was in Indianapolis. And for some reason, everybody then shifted to California. But, yeah, so the new class, I remember they would just – they were just trying to find, like, the next Zach Morris and just a parade of stiffs.
The next Dustin Diamond.
The next. No, he was.
He was there.
He was there. Like, yes, he was there like a bone spur.
I knew a guy like that in college.
Nice, you know.
Stuck around after he graduated.
That was rough. That was definitely rough.
We all knew that guy.
Now, Dave, do you think it's possible that it was just you who changed? That you weren't ready for Saved by the Bell. It was early. They didn't quite
fit
at the right time.
No, I think it's pretty standard. I think it's pretty conventional wisdom that.
I mean, it's possible that Saved by the Bell wasn't as good as.
Whoa.
There's a difference between either. I never once. I don't think I've ever said it was good.
Okay. Iconic. All right. Okay. Sure.
Have to break on back and Saved by the Bell.
You can't objectively quantify it as good, but it. It was lightning in a bottle. It was relentlessly watchable and corny and all that, but it got something it was just addictive for some reason.
It was very popular. My sister loved it.
There you go. A lot of people did. She's not alone. We're not alone.
I would
dare say if you asked your sister, she would scoff at the notion of, say, by the ball, the new class being anything other than junk. So.
Well, that's fair. I mean, that's, you know, it's like a lot of, it's like most sequels are terrible. And most prequels are terrible, so that's why.
Well. That's why.
So there you go. The prequel was Miss Bliss. It just happened to actually come before the thing that it was an actual.
It was like the Harbinger. Yeah, it was like.
I don't know, John the Baptist
of Saved by the Bell.
There you go. You're saying John the Baptist was terrible?
Yes. Miss Bliss was like John the Baptist.
So Miss Bliss got her head cut off?
That's not because there was that episode where she was clad in sheepskin and eating locusts and honey.
Why doesn't Hollywood put out more prequels first? They forget and they have to back it and later. It should start with a prequel.
Start with it.
And then do the thing.
Absolutely.
And then do the sequels.
I know. Just speak for the choir.
Sing it.
All right. Well, I'll leave you with that visual of Haley Mills and a loincloth and eating.
Being eaten by a lion.
So, and being eaten by a lion. So that is the end of the Friday filibuster. Thank you for bearing with us. Hopefully you did stick with us. And if you didn't, I cannot blame you. So FridayFilibuster@DVDBird.com is the email. Mac, take us away.
Where is my goddamn shoe?